Good morning.
Good morning.
A little bit more in a way of introducing myself. My name is Joan DeArtemis, and I have a bachelor's degree in religion and society from Syracuse University. My master's of divinity comes from Claremont School of Theology. I most recently have completed a year-long chaplain residency at Yuma Regional Medical Center, and I'm a candidate for ministry in the UUA. And I would really just love to thank you for having me today. It's a pleasure and a privilege to have been invited to speak with you, especially on Easter, which I am told some people find to be a very important holiday, and some maybe even find it the most important holiday of the entire year. Which brings me to, you might be wondering why I chose a particular hymn, Praise to Spring with the God language. I know that not everyone appreciates or includes that in their worldview, but I wanted to do something that linked Easter to nature, to specifically spring. And you'll find out why in a moment. Has any of you seen this week on Facebook the little Scottish girl that doesn't understand Easter? Did anybody see that? Nobody saw that. Okay, yeah. Now, I was already going to include a story about myself before I ever saw that. That girl must be related to me. I have Scottish ancestors, so she must be some distant relative of mine. You see, when I must have been just barely four. My mother suddenly announced out of nowhere, we're going to go out and we're going to buy you a new outfit. Okay. You know, mommy wants to buy new clothes. I was not yet of an age where I distrusted everything out of my parents' mouth. That would be a teenager. But okay, mommy wants to take me out and buy me clothes. That's cool. So we go out, and she picks out this incredibly frilly little dress. Oh, you all have just met me today, but you might be able to kind of see that frilly little dresses are not really my thing. So I was very confused by this. She got me this frilly little dress and these black shiny shoes and this little basket that she wanted me to carry on my arm the way she carried her purse. And I thought it was very strange. And finally I said, oh, mommy, why are we doing this? And she looked at me and very gleefully said, Easter. Now, I'm quite sure I'd never heard that word before. I mean, I might have heard it on television, but I had no frame of reference because my mother was a very passionate and devout atheist. I had never been in a church. I had never been taught anything about religion of any type whatsoever. And so this Easter thing, okay? So on the morning that my mother told me was Easter, she dressed me up in this little dress. She gave me this little basket. And off we went. We had breakfast or lunch or something. I don't remember which it was. That detail has escaped me. I think we might have gone to Woolworths for, you know, the dining counter there. But I got the impression my mother wanted to show me off. Now, I know my mother was proud of me, but usually she wanted to tell people what I had done. Just dressing me up in a dress seemed really weird to me. And did I also mention I'm not the frilly dress type? I want to stress that. So we got home, and while we were away, my dad had spent the time when we were gone hiding these little plastic eggs. Now, looking back, I know that this was all incredibly sweet. But at the time, I just thought it was very strange. And my mom told me that the eggs came from the Easter Bunny. I knew full well my dad had done it. It sounds like the little girl, doesn't it? I knew full well that rabbits didn't lay eggs. This was all just bizarre. The eggs had in them little candies. And I was an odd child. I never really went in for candy. But okay, and now I had colored eggs full of little candies. And she had me go around the yard with the basket dressed in this little outfit. So then we went in, and then we colored hard-boiled eggs with one of those kits that you used to buy. I don't know if they still sell them. I did like hard-boiled eggs, and I did discover that hard-boiled eggs in color was much more fun. That was a high point. But at the end of it, they gave me a chocolate rabbit. I don't think I ever ate it. The thing is, I really loved animals. And the thought of biting the ears off a rabbit, even a chocolate one, just mortified me. So, anyway, I think this was the last time my parents ever tried to do this. They put a lot of time and energy and money into it, and all they got back from me was the, seriously? I just didn't get it. I mean, why the new clothes? What connection did bunnies have to eggs? You know, I know that eggs come from chickens, not bunnies. What's this thing that we were doing? If my mother had explained to me that this was a celebration of spring, I lived in South Bend, Indiana. I understood spring. If she had explained to me that this was one in a series of celebrations of spring, the latest in a series, I would have got that. But no, she gave me no frame of reference whatsoever. So then later on, I went to school, and we had Easter vacation. When I was a kid, they still called it Easter vacation. Didn't know why, but it seemed to be very important to the other kids. Still this mystery around Easter. And on TV, they would show the greatest story ever told and the Ten Commandments, which we never watched. But we did watch Ben-Hur because there were chariots. That's all I know about it, is that's the movie with the chariot race. When I became a young adult and my mother had died, I, for a time, embraced Christianity, and I joined the American Baptist Church. And what attracted me to that tradition was the social justice and radical hospitality of Jesus. It was the teachings. And also, I had a need and a desire after my mother died to be a part of a religious community. I wanted that support. So the church I joined was people I knew, and it gave me a community. But I found that I had no more understanding of Easter than I did before, even though I knew the gospel story. I remember I was a little girl that would not bite the ears off the rabbit. The idea of celebrating a being being tortured to death in that way, I found to be mortifying. I visualized it. I saw it in my mind. I could not bring myself to celebrate. So, as it turned out, I would avoid going to church on Easter because I just didn't understand. It's a mystery with a capital M. Strangely enough, I did not reach any kind of understanding to it until I became a pagan. I bought a set of runes. It's the normal one you see in the stores all the time, and it has a book in it. And in the book, in the front cover, there is a poem called Odin's Rune Song. And the translation that I'm going to read to you is better than the one in the book. It's closer to the actual translation. But this is what I read. Hung I was on a windswept tree. 9 full nights I hung, pierced by a spear, a pledge to the god, to Odin, myself, to myself. On that tree which none can know the source, from whence its root has run. None gave me bread, none brought me a horn. Then, low to the earth I looked, I caught up the runes. Roaring, I took them, and fainting, I fell back. First time I read that, the lights came on. Because I saw Jesus hanging from that windswept tree, pierced by a spear. A pledge to what was holy inside himself. A sacrifice of part of himself to the best part of himself. The dark night of the soul, the suffering. Odin discovered runes. That wisdom teaching, which would be handed down generation after generation, came to him when he was willing to let go of himself, his ego, and meet his best self. Now, this was an explanation of the crucifixion that I could understand and that I could own. Specifically of the resurrection that I could own. This was Easter. Jesus suffered crucifixion so they would hopefully, remember the love and not the pain. And after I saw that, then I saw this reoccurring theme in myth and in story and in art. Persephone was abducted by Hades and agrees to become his wife, living in the underworld with the dead, provided that she can return to her mother once a year in the spring. Iphigenia agrees to be sacrificed to Artemis if it serves the good of her people, even though her father initially uses lies and trickery to get her to the temple. Her reward is that she is replaced on the altar by a stag and whisked away to become a priestess of the goddess herself. In the movie series Alien, Ripley, in the third movie, embraces that which she fears the most, even as it is killing her, to be reborn in the fourth movie a new and transformed individual. Neo in The Matrix, finally, surrendering all his beliefs about himself and about reality as he knows it, to realize that there is no spoon, and to become himself the one. It doesn't have to be any great mythic figure. It doesn't have to be detached from any of us. It can be anyone who's ever experienced an ego death, which is something that many LGBT people go through when we discover after years of trying to conform to the expected sex roles and gender norms that we no longer can, and we come out. It happens when people go through periods of intense loneliness and come out the other side feeling that they are never really alone. It happens when people meet and accept and even embrace their own mortality. I had a friend who decided to go off chemo last year, and she threw a great big party and invited all of her friends to celebrate it. It happens whenever we find something that gives our lives new meaning, as I did when I heard the call to ministry. It happens when someone learns to truly accept and love themselves exactly as they are and not based upon what others perceive or expect. It happens when we experience cognitive dissonance and we learn to accept that the world does not always conform to our expectations. But most importantly, it happens to you the best when you realize that you can totally fall apart and survive it, and it is best when it happens in the service to some greater good. It doesn't always have to be so dark and serious, though. One of my favorite examples of this comes from a Zen koan. Two monks, one old and one young, are walking down a muddy road. They encounter an attractive young woman standing by a swollen stream, afraid to cross because of the current. Without hesitation, the older one kneels before her and invites her to get up on his shoulders. And he walks through the stream and carries her to safety. And on the other side, he puts her down, and the two monks go on their way, and the woman goes on her way. However, the younger of the two monks is very disturbed, and he does not say a word for the rest of the trip, for hours. Finally, they get back to the monastery, and the older monk looks at him and says, "I am sensing that something's bothering you. What is it, brother?" And the young monk says, "We are monks. We are not even supposed to talk to women. And you had that woman on your shoulders." The older monk looked at him and said, "I left that woman by the river. Why are you still carrying her around?" Easter invites us to leave that woman by the river, to do what is best, and then to let it go. What are you carrying around? This is the question to ask yourself. What are you carrying around that keeps you from being your best self? Ask yourself this question. What is it that I am willing to live or possibly die for? Recognize it. Own it. Celebrate it. Because this is your best self. Is there someone or something that you need to forgive? Maybe you need to forgive yourself. Forgiveness is not condoning or excusing harmful behavior. Forgiveness is not denial of our own pain. It is not inviting an abuser back into our lives. And it is not forgetting anything that is a real wound or a betrayal. However, forgiveness does allow us to know that we can leave that woman by the river and survive it. It will be okay. Are you grieving? Maybe you're grieving and you don't even know it. All of life's changes require us to leave something behind, even as we are gaining something new. Sometimes it's necessary to remember to embrace that woman by the river before you let her go. Let her know that she was important to you. Finally, do you feel hopeful for the future, or do you feel hopeless? The real takeaway message that I believe Easter invites us to do, regardless of our faith, is this. If you are feeling hopeless because of fear of loss, it's okay. loss of whatever does not have to destroy you. All change has loss built into it. And you have already experienced so much change in your life. And you've survived it so far. And sometimes you don't, because death comes to us all eventually. But failing to live your life out of fear of death is useless. It's like giving your life away for no good reason. So my invitation to you this Easter is to choose life. Snatch up those runes, roar at them, even if doing so makes you faint.